We're holding on Baze Ahmed Bey's second line from the bottom. We left off as follows. Our Mishnah had told us various kinds of work in your fields that you're allowed and not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed and also on Shemitah. So in this connection, we discussed the question, if a person does, these malachas and many other ones as well, are also on Shabbos. So the question was about a particular thing. If a person pulls out weeds on Shabbos or waters plants on Shabbos, what malacha has he been over on? So we had a machloikas rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, whether these are part of the malacha of choresh, plowing because he's softening the soil, or zereya, planting because he's promoting the growth of the plants. So in that connection, our Mishnah starts by saying rules about watering plants during Shemitah. So now both plowing and planting are also doing Shemitah. So regardless whether you say that watering plants is part of the malacha of plowing or part of the malacha of planting, either way, it should be also doing Shemitah. How can the Mishnah be telling us that in certain cases, such as we said, a Beis HaSholchin, a field that needs extra water, that needs irrigation, that you should be allowed to do it during Shemitah? So the first answer was, we had Abaya said that we're only talking about nowadays where Shemitah is only Dirabban. Namely, the idea would be that according to that opinion, Shemitah is Daraisa only when there's Yovel. Yovel requires that most of the Jewish people are living in Eretz Yisrael, so therefore Yovel has not been in effect since the end of the first base, since a little before the end of the first base in Mikdash. So therefore Shemitah is only Dirabbanan, and therefore the same Chachamim who said that you have to keep Shemitah can also make various exceptions there. Okay, so that's where we're up to. So Rava gives a different answer. Even when Shemitah is Daraisa, there are still certain things. Afilo Tamer Rabbanon, we said that Rebbe is the one who holds that Shemitah nowadays is only Darabanon. The Chachamim disagree with him and say that it's Daraisa. You have, by the way, the result of that is the Machlokas Rishonim, who the Halacha is like in the end. So Rava Amar Afilo Tamer Rabbanon. Rava says you could even say that our Mishnah, which allows you to water certain kinds of fields during Shemitah, is according to the Rabbanon, and they hold that Shemitah nowadays is still Daraisa. Because you could say, obvious, aser rachmana, toldos like aser rachmana. You could say that the Torah asked only the obvious malachas and not the toldos. The usual definition, now, for example, for Hilchos Shabbos, we usually say that an av malacha is something that took place in the Mishkan, and a tolda is something that did not. So therefore, so Rashi says, for example, we don't find that there was a malacha in the Mishkan of watering plants. So practically speaking, watering plants softens the soil or promotes the growth of it, but we don't specifically find that they had to water plants for the Mishkan. They had to grow plants because they had to, they needed plants for certain dyes, but we don't find any place that they had to water them. Pashtus, in other words, these plants would have been able to grow very nicely just on rain. So we're saying over here that the Torah does not answer told us. Now, the difficulty with that is that, for example, we were talking about before plowing, and plowing is certainly one of the 39 malachas. So there are actually several different explanations of what we mean by obus and told us over here. First of all, in fact, the Ritva brings a girsa from Rashi. Again, like we talked about before, Rashi here on Moed Katan may not be from Rashi himself, it may be from some other Rishon, but then you have what's printed nowadays, it's been printed as Rashi Ksav Yad, it's been printed in various places, which seems to be more the original Pirush that Rashi wrote, and the Ritva brings it and says that he didn't have the girsa told us. So therefore it would be, in other words, that within that the Torah is answering only certain malachas, but not other ones. As we're going to mention now, the Pasuk mentions only certain malachas. There's different other ways of looking at it. Maybe, in fact, the definition of toldos as far as Shemitah is not necessarily the same as Shabbos. Anyway, Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Uvashana Shvias Shnas Shabbos Shabbos in Yila Oretz. The Pasuk says in the seventh year, there should be a Shabbos of rest for the land. Sod Cholesis, Rebbe Gomer. And the Pasuk mentions four specific things that you're not allowed to do. It says, You're not allowed to plant your field, meaning that sizra means like to mean in English, the proper word for it in English is sowing, meaning like planting seeds, like you plant, like the way you plant wheat or like the way you plant wheat or barley or beans or whatnot. As opposed to the word for planting trees, where you take a branch, for example, and stick it, or a young tree, and stick it in the ground. The proper word for it is natia. So in English, there's technically the difference that planting seeds is properly called sowing, and planting trees would be called planting. But in common terminology, we call them both the same thing. But anyway, so sadchale sizra, the pasuk says, you're not allowed to plant or sow your field. The pasuk continues, v'chamuchale sizmer, you're not allowed to prune your vines. So then the pasuk continues, you're not allowed to harvest the aftergrowths of your grain, meaning in other words, like you have a grain that you didn't plant, but seeds fell down the previous year, and now this year they sprouted. So you're not allowed to harvest them in the normal way. And the pasuk says, you set aside grapes. You're not allowed to harvest from the grapevines. So it mentions only those four malachas. So now let's see. The Gemara says, mech. Now let's consider zmira b'chlal zriya, pruning branches from the vines is part of zriya, because the point is, why you're pruning the branches? Because you want to make the vine or whatever tree grow better. Uftzira b'chlal ktzira, and harvesting grapes is the same kind of thing as harvesting grain. L'may hilchsa kasvina rachmana. So why does the Torah list only those four? Why doesn't it list only the two main ones? Or why doesn't it just say generically, don't do malacha? L'memra, so it comes to tell you, da'ahani toldos mechayev, achr naisa loy mechayev. So it's telling you that only those toldos are the ones that you chayev for doing on Shemitah, but the other ones are not. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that the other ones are completely mutter to do. But in any case, it does mean, in other words, that the iso daraisa is only on those. The rest of them may only be also derabanan. So again, therefore, so even we say that Shemitah nowadays is daraisa, like the Chachamim against Rebbe, we can still say that only those four malachas mentioned in the Torah, Yochayim four, and the rest of them not. The rest would be only derabanan, and therefore the Chachamim could make various leniencies in them, such as what we said in the Mishnah, that you could water a Beis HaShochen during Shemitah. In fact, we've been talking before about obviously told us that the Rambam understands our Gemara to be saying that here the definition of obis and told us is somewhat different than it is by Shabbos. The first and third malachas that it mentions in the pasuk, which are the primary way of doing things, namely sowing a field and harvesting grain, are considered the obis, and the other two, pruning branches and harvesting grapes, would be considered toldos of those two obis. So only those two obis and those two toldos would be also midaraisa. When it comes to Shemitah, the rest of them would not. Again, you have different other Rishonim that learn that what it means is that you have, when it comes to Shemitah, you have four obis and midaraisa, no toldos, whatever. The point is, in other words, that therefore, so watering plants is not any of those four. Therefore, we can say that watering plants, watering a field, is not necessarily also daraisa, or at least that it doesn't carry a penalty of malchus, and therefore the chachamim can be make on it. So the Gemara says, "V'loy, you're telling me not. You're telling me all other kinds of work in your field or in your vineyard or your orchard or whatever are not chayav daraisa." Vahatanya, we learn in a braisa, when the pasuk says sod choloi sizra b'cham choloi sizma, the pasuk says you're not allowed to sow your field and you're not allowed to prune your vines. So ainli ela zirua v'zimur. So from that pasuk, you would only know so far that planting and that sowing and pruning would be also minayim l'nikush. How do we know that also weeding, pulling out weeds from the ground, ula idur, and hoeing, digging in the ground in the field or around the vines, or the kisuach, or cutting off the weeds. Rashi explains that nikush would be pulling the weeds out of the ground. Kisuach just means that you cut off the part of them that's above ground and leave the roots in the ground. So how do we know those things are also as well? Tamad lema sod chaloi kam chaloi. Therefore, the pasuk says, your field no, and your vineyard no. Which means, Rashi explains, the Pasuk could have phrased it Loi sizra sodcha and loi sizmer kamcha. Do not sow your field and do not prune your vineyard. Instead, the phrasing in the pasuk is sodcha your field, loi sizra, you should not sow. V'chamcha and your vineyard, loi sizmer, you should not prune. So we daushin that the word sod, that the word loi each time goes with the word right before it. Sodcha loi, anything that's in your field is also to do, and kamcha loi, anything that's in your vineyard is also to do. So therefore, so those malachas also are aser, which so far it sounds like we're saying they're also daraisa. Rabbeinu Chananah learns the limud from the pasuk differently. He says, listen, the pasuk didn't have to mention the word sodcha or kamacha at all. If it says lois sizra, where else are you sowing if not a field? Lois sizma, where else are you pruning if not a vineyard or some other kind of tree like that? The fact that it mentions sodcha and kamacha means that those other activities that take place in your sodder or your kerem are also aser. And the Braisa continues with other ones. So therefore, sodcha loy kamacha loy, loy kol malacha sheba sodcha, you're not allowed to do any malacha that's in your field, loy kol malacha sheba kamacha, and you're not allowed to do any work that's in your vineyard. And the Braisa continues, minayin she'en makausamin, how do we know that another malacha that you're not allowed to do is makausamin? So Rashi explains that makausamin means it's the same kind of thing as pruning. It's the same kind of thing as zoymer. The difference is the word zoymer or zmira refers to when you're doing it with grapevines. Makausamin would be when you're doing it with other kinds of trees. With a number of these, there's different other explanations among Rishonim what a number of these agricultural activities are. The Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos explains that makausamin is when you take the stalks of grain and you remove the grain and you cut off only the part with the grain and you leave the stalk attached to the ground. Anyway, so how do we know you're not allowed to do that? So whatever the definition of makausamin is, Rashi's or the Rambam's, etc. They're in mezodin, and they also not allowed to do mezodin, which is that you're cutting off both dry and fresh branches. Sometimes you have the tree has too many branches on it. So then you cut off indiscriminately, like this zoymer, or according to Rashi, also makausim, is cutting off only dry branches. Here, you're cutting off healthy, fresh branches as well, because there are too many of them on the tree. So that would be mezodin. Ve'en mefaskin be'ilon, and also you're not allowed to do mefaskin by a tree, which means here also you have a few different explanations. Rashi says that when you have a tree where the branches of it are too soft and weak, so what you do is you hold them up. You put things over there to hold them up. That would be called mefaskin. A different explanation that somebody showing him explained is mefaskin would be, and Rashi himself seems to say that in other places, is that it means that also similarly, when the branches are drooping down too much, then what you do is like you tie them together to make them grow upward rather than sideways. Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out also that with the definition we have in front of us over here of Rashi, of holding them up, how is that? The word mefaskin usually means like to cut. So how does that have anything to do with cutting? And he explains that it means like you cut notches in the branches in order that the poles that you're putting there will stay in place and hold them up. Whatever the case. So you're not allowed to do that also, be'ilon in a tree. So how do we know those also? Again, Talmud Lema, sod chaloi, kaima chaloi. The same thing. It said your field no, your vineyard no, which means again, loi kamalacha sheba sod chaloi, loi kamalacha sheba kamacha. The same thing. You're not allowed to do any work in your field or in your vineyard. Next, minayin chain mizablin. How do we know that you're not allowed to fertilize the tree? Ve'in mefarkin, and you're not allowed to do mefarkin, which here also you have a few different possibilities that Rishonim bring what it means. Rashi over here says that it means if you have rocks on top of the roots, then you're allowed to remove them. There's a few other explanations. One of them being that it means when you have leaves that are covering the fruit and preventing the fruit from getting sunlight and ripening nicely. So you remove those leaves. So you're not allowed to do those. But in ma'abkin, you're also not allowed to do ma'abkin, which again, there's several explanations. Rashi says that it means that when the roots of the tree are exposed, then you cover them with avok, with dust, in order that they don't dry out. The Aruch explains that it means where you have dust on the tree and you remove the dust. And there's a few other explanations as well. The Me'iri brings a couple of other explanations. One of them being that you have a place where the tree was cut, for example, then you wrap a cloth around it in order to protect it. Anyway, ve'en ma'ashnin be'ilon, and you're also not allowed to make smoke by a tree. Rashi explains that you would burn something under the tree, so it produces smoke in order to kill the worms that are in the tree. The Rosh asks on that, but in that case, that should be mutter, because we have, in general, the rule is, as we're going to discuss throughout the sugya, that things that are necessary to keep the tree from dying, those you're allowed to do even during Shemitah. Only things that are helping to promote the growth of it and whatever, those you're not allowed to. And killing the worms would be part of preventing the tree from dying from the worms, and it's not a direct malacha on the tree. So the Rosh has a different explanation of ma'ashnin, that it means like you're burning something with a fragrance under the tree in order that this tree should absorb the fragrance, whatever it is. How do we know you're not allowed to do those things either? Again, Tamil Bana Sod Cholot. The pasuk says, "Your field know, your vineyard low, and your vineyard know." Again, interesting point is a couple of the mafoshim deal with the question: why did the Braisa divide these into three separate groups? We just listed 10 different malachas, and we had them in groups. We had three, then three, then four. Why not just list them all together? We're learning them all from the same psukim anyway. And so they give a couple of different answers. Maybe the Tana wanted to put the different category, the malachas that are in different categories, each one in their own category. So the first ones, for example, Nikush, Idur, and Kisuach are things that you do in both a field and an orchard. The next ones are ones that you do only on trees and so forth. A different explanation is just that the Tana learned them in groups and then remembered them that way in groups, and therefore taught the Braisa that way. Anyway, continues the Braisa, Yochol lo yikashkesh tachas hazesim. Now, you would think if you're saying that you're not allowed to do any malacha in your field or in your vineyard, so maybe you should not allowed to do your kashkesh under olive trees. So what is your kashkish? Rashi says it's the same thing as idur, it's the same thing as hoeing that we mentioned before. The difference is when you're doing it under grapes, under grapevines, it's called idur, and when doing it under olive trees, it's called kishkush. So you would think you're not allowed to do that. You'd think that you're not allowed to hoe the ground and then break up the ground under grapevines to make them grow better. And you wouldn't be allowed to fill up ditches in the ground with water, and that you wouldn't be allowed to make round ditches around the bases of grapevines in order that it'll hold water and the grapevine will grow. So how do we know that in fact you're allowed to do those? After all, if the pasuk is saying sod chaloi kam chaloi, maybe you're not allowed to do those things here. No, tamabaima sod chaloi sizra. After all, we go back to the fact that the pasuk mentioned you're not allowed to plant your field. Now, zriya b'chlal hoisa. Now, again, we had a general klal, we had a general rule saying that you're not allowed to work the land at all. Shabbos, Shabbos, and yilaretz. And then it mentions specifically that you're not allowed to sow your field. So, v'lama yotza. So, why is sowing mentioned separately? Lahakish elaha. The reason is in order to make a hekish. Loy maloch. So, it comes to tell you, ma zriya miyuchedes avodish abasodim shabakerem. Just like sowing is, what's special about that malacha is it's something that happens both in the field and the vineyard. But the same thing, what kind of avoidus are also doing Shemitah? Only the kind where you have basically the same avoida in the field, meaning a field of grain, or in the vineyard. But things that you only have in one versus the other, those are in fact allowed on Shemitah. So Rashi points out, by the way, now, so the question is, we just said that you are allowed to do ya'adir, you are allowed to hoe the ground under the vines. Didn't we say before, we had the list over there, we said idur is not allowed. So Rashi brings the explanation. Later on, the Gemara is going to explain that there's a difference between whether they were there before. For example, the Gemara is going to explain later as far as the ugias, as far as the ditches under the vine, that there's a difference whether the ditch was there before and then fell in, and now you're redigging it versus when you're digging one for the first time, where then it's much more of a tircha. So the same thing, you can distinguish whether the ground was previously hoed or not. That's what Rashi says. Different other Rishonim talk about different other possibilities, including that maybe, in fact, we don't have the word idur in the Braisa before. Maybe the Braisa before should not have the word idur, and we shouldn't say that hoeing is also, because he was saying it's mutter. And the Rosh says that maybe there's a difference between hoeing in a field versus in a vineyard. Maybe in a vineyard, it's more badly needed to prevent the vines from dying, and therefore you're allowed to do it. Whereas in a field, it's not as necessary, and therefore you wouldn't be allowed to. whatever the case, the point is, so now we have a long list of malachas that are not mentioned in the psukim, because again, we said the pasuk only mentions four malachas, and we still see that we have these whole other lists that are also asur, and it sounds like they're also daraisa. So what are you telling me that only the ones listed in the pasuk are also midaraisa, and all the other ones are midrabanan? Here we see that all of them seem to be midaraisa. And the answer is they are in fact midrabanan. The pasuk is only an asmachta, meaning that the chachamim used it as a support for their takana that you're not allowed to do these things as well. But really, midaraisa, you would have been allowed to do them, and therefore, since they're only asur d'rabbanan, then therefore the same rabbanan who said that they're asur can also say that there are exceptions, such as watering a beis hashochin during shmita. Okay, the Gemara asks, the kishkush b'shvias mishari. Are you telling me that kishkush, which we said before is digging and hoeing in the ground under an olive tree, are you telling me b'shvias mishari that such a thing is mutter during shmita? Because we said before that it's not like sowing, which because it's not something that's done both in the field and the vineyard. V'haksiv, doesn't a different pasuk say about shmita? V'ashvias tishmiteno unatashta. The pasuk says shmita, you should let it go and abandon it. And what does that mean? It means we daushin. Tishmetena means melkashkish. Leaving it alone means that you don't do kishkush or natashta melasakil. And the word natashta, that you should abandon it, means that you don't take rocks out of the ground on Shemitah, because that's also improving the soil. So we see that you're not allowed to do those things. And the answer, and here, Bapashtas, we're not going to say that it's only an asmachta. And the answer is Omer of Ukva Bachoma, Tre Kishkushi Hati. The answer is, says Rav Ukva Bachoma, there's two kinds of activities that are called under the general name of Kishkush. Chad Avruye Ivani, one of them involves Avruye the tree, which what does Avruye mean? So the Rashi printed in front of us doesn't explain. The Rashi Ksavyad and Rashi himself and Rashi explains in other places in Shas that there's two possible meanings of the word Avruye. It can mean to pierce. So it means, in other words, you pierce through to the roots. You dig and you pierce through to the roots of the tree. And that we're going to say that kind is not mutter on Shemitah, because you don't need it in order to keep the tree from dying. The tree will live very nicely without it. It just may not flourish as much, but it won't die or be badly damaged. The other possibility that she mentions is that Avruye is Meloshin Bari, meaning to make the tree healthy. So again, we're talking about it's not that not healthy as in otherwise it's going to be sick, but in other words, like to make it extra healthy, like to improve its health. So that would be also. So that's one kind of kishkush that's not allowed. V'chad stumi pili. The other one involves closing up. The other one involves closing up cracks. So Rashi over here explains it means if you have cracks in the tree itself. Elsewhere in Sukkah in particular, Rashi explains that the cracks we're talking about is where you have the ground is cracked above the roots, and therefore you need to move around the dirt a little bit over there in order that the roots are not completely exposed. So there's two kinds of kishkush. Avruye ilan osur, so the kind that's for avruye to pierce through to the roots or to make the tree extra healthy, osur, would be osur during Shemitah because it's working the ground, and that's osur. Stumi, pili, shari, but the one that involves closing up cracks in the tree or in the ground, that's mutter because that's necessary to keep the tree from dying or being gravely injured altogether. Okay, so far that's that then. So we're saying that there are malachas that are also minatora, and then there are other malachas that are also only drabanan. So Rava's point was, therefore, among the ones that are also drabanan is that are also only drabanan, even when Shemitah is daraisa, is watering the plants, and therefore that's why our Mishnah can say that you can water certain kinds of fields during Shemitah. Okay, so now the Gemara says Itmar. So now we have a discussion on the question of if a person does one of these malachas that are not mentioned in the pasuk on Shvius, what happens? Itmar hachodesh b'Shvius. If a person plows the ground during Shemitah. Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Lazar argue what happens to him. Chad omer loike, chad omer ene loike. One of them says he gets malchus because he's working the ground on Shemitah, and the other one says he doesn't. Obviously, we're talking about when Shemitah is daraisa. Obviously, when Shemitah is derabanan, according to the opinion of Rebbe, that Shemitah nowadays is only derabanan, then there's nothing to talk about giving him malchus. So the Gemara says, "Lema b'dirab oven amar of ilah kamithli." Well, can we say that Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Elazar are arguing regarding the point that Rabbi Oven said in the name of Rabbi Ila? In other words, do we agree with his point or not? And that's going to affect what the halacha is. Namely, the Amr of Oven Amr of Ila, Kol Mokam Shanema Klau Be'esa Uprak Beloy Seseh. Now, like this, we know we have rules. We say them every morning in the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel. You have Klau Uprat, Prat Uklau, Klau Uprat Uklau. Now, here's a twist. Usually, when we talk about a klal of prat or a prat of klal or whatever, both of them are part of an esser or both of them are part of a lois esser. But here we have where the klal is an esser and the prat is in a lois esser. Namely, the pasuk starts off by saying a mitzvah saseh, that Shabbos, Shabbos, and Yir La'aretz, that it should be a year of rest for the land. So that is, it's a klal, meaning in general, you're not allowed to do anything that prevents the land from resting. But it's phrased as an esser. Let the land rest. So that's a klal as phrased as an esser. Then you have after that you have a lois esser. Sod chol loisis, Rabbi Chaimah chol loisis, etc. We have mentioned specific malachos that you're not allowed to do. So sort of Oven Omer of Ila says kol mokum shenema klal be esser. Whenever you have that the klal is given as a mitzvah saseh, or prat b'lois saseh, and then the details, the specifics are given as a lois saseh. Rav Oven says, ein donin osi b'kal a prat u'klal. So we can't judge, we can't use that, we can't treat that as a regular klal a prat u'klal. So in this case, in other words, even though afterwards the pasuk continues with another klal, because it continues afterwards and it says, shnas shabosin yelo'oretz, but in between the prat, so you have a klal, and then you have a klal, which is an esser, a prat, which is a lois esser, and another klal, which is an esser, so you don't treat it as a regular klal of prat or klal. If we did, then we would say, we would look at things that are similar to the prat, and then we would include any other malachas that are similar to them, and say that all of those are also midaraisa during Shemitah. But since we don't do that, instead we say that we just treat it. So Rashi says, we just treat it as a klal of prat. So therefore, so it means, in other words, that only the prat, only the four things that are listed over there would make a person chayav malchus, but nothing else. Tosfos has some problems with Rashi's explanation. So Tosfos learns that maybe what it is maybe we don't even consider it a klal of prat at all. Maybe maybe what it is we only consider it to be So we would say, if we agree with Rab Ila, then we would say we have a klal of prat. And if we disagree, then we would say we don't even have a klal of prat. We just have a prat. So anyway, so would we
Why we don't treat it as a klal prat or klal?
Because one's an esse and one's a lois esse. Because one's an esse and one's a lois esse. So therefore, so Ovid is telling us that we don't treat that as a regular klal of prat or klal.
Well, the regular klal prat or klal is what?
A regular klal of prat klal. So here's an example. A regular klal of prat klal would be, for example, the Torah tells us that you allow if you have maisa sheni that you can't bring to your shalayim, there's too much of it or whatever, then you exchange it for money and you bring the money to your shalayim. The pasuk says, what can you do with that money? You can buy with it. The pasuk says anything that you want, which is a klal. Then it says you can buy with it a bakar v'tzonin of a yayin of a sheicho. You can buy cattle or sheep or wine or strong wine. And then it continues, or anything that you want. So there is a classic klal of prat or klal. So we say, therefore, that we include, so we look at what's in the prat are things that grow directly or indirectly from the ground. The wine comes from vines that grow in the ground. The animals eat grass, which grows from the ground. And also all of those things produce young. The animals produce young and the trees produce new trees. So therefore, so you're allowed to buy any such thing. So with mice or shaney money. So for example, we learn from that, let's say you wouldn't be allowed to buy water or salt because those don't grow from the ground and those don't reproduce. You wouldn't be allowed to buy mushrooms because even though mushrooms reproduce, they don't really grow from the ground. They grow from the moisture in the air. So that's a classic klal of prat or klal. But there we have the klal and the prat and the klal are all part of a mitzvah saseh. Here we're talking something else. Here we have a twist where the klal is a mitzvah saseh, Shabbos, Shabbos, and Yir La'aretz. The prat is a lois esser, and the klal is another esser. So therefore, so Rav Oven is telling us that we don't treat it as a regular klal or prat or klal. So Rashi says then that what we're doing is we're treating it as a klaluprat. But if we say that, then we treat it only as a klaluprat. Otherwise, we treat it as a klaluprat or klal. So, like I said, Tosfos has a long discussion about the ins and outs of that, and discusses another possible way of learning the Gemara. That the machloikas is whether we treat it as a klaluprat at all. But anyway, the point is, so would we say, getting back to the Gemara, man de omer loike, so would we say that the opinion between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, whichever one says he gets Malkus, less like the Rabbi Ovin omer Rabbi Ila, he would not agree with Rabbi Ovin. So therefore, he would say that what you have over here is a cloud of protocol. Therefore, he would say that, in fact, therefore, so we have to consider that anything that's like those four malachas is osim in HaTorah. And since those four malachas are malachas that involve the soil, so anything else that involves the soil would be also daraisa, and that includes plowing. Whereas the opinion that says he doesn't get malchus would disagree with Rav Ovin. Would agree with Rav Ovin and say therefore you don't have a klal of prat to klal. All you have is a klal of prat. Well, therefore the prat mentions only these four things. Ein beklal ela mashe beprat. Therefore you only have only these four also daraisa, nothing else. So do we have to say that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar are arguing regarding that point? What Tosfos is saying is that it's not only a matter of klal or prat or klal. It's also, in other words, a question of do we say that after all that it's a klal or prat, or do we say that after all, we said before at the top of the Amud, we said that even among the prat itself, you only have four things mentioned, and two of them are kind of subcategories of the other two. So therefore maybe we should say that only those are also and nothing else. So do we have to say that? And the answer is the Gemara says, Loi, not necessarily. The Kula Amma Lesle did Rab Ovin Amr Abila. We could say that both of them disagree with what Rab Ovin is saying. Both of them disagree and say that, in fact, we have a real cloud of protocol over here. Manda Amma Loike Shapir, the one who says you get Malkus, well, that's why, because he would say cloud of protocol. So therefore, we're including not only the four that it mentions in the Pasuk, but anything else that's similar to that. Umanda Oma Ainaloika, the opinion that says he doesn't get Malkus, Omaloch, he's gonna tell you, like we said before, Mechti Zmira Bakhlal Zrio or Tsira Bakhla Tsira. After all, we said the Khamchalis Sismo, you're not allowed to prune your vines. That's included in the same category as sowing your field, because both of them promote the growth of the plant. And harvesting your grapes is only a subcategory of harvesting your grain. In both of them, you have something that was attached to the ground and now is being detached. So why would the pasuk have written them? Only to tell us that only for the toldus that I mentioned there in the pasuk are you chayiv malchus, but nothing else. So therefore, that opinion would say, fine, there is a klal of prata klal over here, but because even though it's an essay and a lois essay, we don't care about that. But nevertheless, the fact that the Torah itself lists things that are subcategories of each other implies that here we can only include things that are subcategories of those activities, not something like plowing, which is a completely different category of activity. So again, the Gemara goes through the same braise as we did before. The law, you're telling me that no other activities, according to that opinion, would be also daraisa. V'hotanya sod chaloi sizr v'cham chaloi sizmer. We have the same braise as we had earlier on the Yomud, that when the pasuk says you're not allowed to sow your field and you're not allowed to prune your vines, amy ela zero of zimmer. From that, you would only know that sowing and pruning are also minayim leidur lekishkur shel kisuach. How do we know that also hoeing in the fields or kishkur, which we said was hoeing under the grapevines or whatever, or the kisuach or cutting off the weeds? The Rashash, by the way, says before we talked about kishkush and we said that one kind is also one kind is mutter. Maybe over here the braisa, when we're quoting the same braisa as before, instead of kishkush, it should really say nikush, which means we said before meant pulling out the weeds by their roots. Anyway, how do we know those are also tamad lema sod chaloi kam chaloi? Again, because the pasuk said you field not, you vineyard not. Meaning, loy kamalacha shabasodcha, loy kamalacha shabakamacha, no malacha in your field and no malacha in your vineyard is mutter. We said, how do we know that you can't, which we said that Rashi meant pruning dry branches off other kinds of trees, and the Rambam said meant removing the grain from the stalk and leaving the stalk. That in mezardin, you're not allowed to cut off branches indiscriminately. That in mefaskin ve'ilan, you're not allowed to hold up. You're not allowed to do something to hold up the branches, or there's a different opinion I forgot to mention before, that mefaskin means that you cut off all the branches of the tree in order to make the trunk grow thicker. Anyway, so how do we know you're not allowed to do those? Tamad lama sod chaloi kam chaloi. The pasuk says, "Your field not, your vineyard not." Meaning again, loy kam malachas shabasod chaloi kam malachas shabakamacha. No malachas in your field, no malachas in your vineyard. And minayin shein mezablin vein mefraukin vein ashin veilon. How do we know that you're not allowed to fertilize, or they're not allowed to fertilize on the mefraukin, which we said Rashi said meant to take stones off of the roots, and then and other mefarshim say that it means to remove leaves that are preventing the fruit from ripening properly. Anyway, vein ma'ashin, and we said you're allowed to make smoke under the tree be'ilon when it comes to a tree. Tamad lema sod chaloi kam chaloi. Therefore, the pasuk says, "Not your field, not your vineyard." You're not allowed to do any malacha in your field or in your vineyard. And we said, you would think then that you're not allowed to hoe the ground under the olive trees, and you're not allowed to hoe under the grapevines, and you're not allowed to fill up ditches in the ground with water, and you're not allowed to make round ditches around the bases of the grapevines. Note, we said the pasuk says your field you're not allowed to sow, and we said zriya b'chlal hoisa. There's a general rule over there of malachas that you're not allowed to do. So why does it mention sowing particularly? To make a hekesh with it. Just like planting is something that takes place in both the field and the vineyard. The same way only malachas that are in both places are osur. So again, we see from this braisa, like we did before, that on the face of it, all of these things are also daraisa. So how can you be telling me that how can any opinion be telling us that only the ones that are mentioned in the pasuk, the four things mentioned in the pasuk, are aser? And again, the answer is like before, midrabanan across machteb alma, that opinion would say that this whole braisa is teaching us things that are only aser midrabanan, and we have an asmachta from the pasuk, the fact that it says sod chaloi and kaim chaloi. But that opinion could still say that only the four things mentioned in the pasuk are also daraisa and are chayav malchus, and all the rest of them are also only the rabbanan. Now, there's a different explanation some rishonim have, that this opinion would agree that many others can be also daraisa as well, but only these four would be chayav malchus. Okay. Ki osir of Dimi Omer. Now, when Rav Dimi came, a new discussion we're going to have now, also related to Shemitah, ki osir of Dimi Omer, yochu yuka ala tosfis. He brought a braisa or a statement of Amiroyim that was saying in Eretz Yisrael, yochul yuka ala tosfis. You would think that a person gets malchus for the addition. Now, what do we mean by the addition? That we're going to explain. The nosiv la tamud leptura, and then they said that we learn something in the Gemara that we're going to learn from a pasuk that you potter for it. And Rav Dimi says, "V'lo yadayne my talmud or my tosfos." I don't know what did they mean. What is the limud from the pasuk, and what is the tosfos that we're talking about that we would have thought to begin with that you chayim for, that you get the chayim malchus for? So the Gemara says here also we have a machloikas Rav Elazar and Rav Yechon about it, which is going to relate back to their previous machloikas. Rav Elazar or Macharisha. Rav Elazar says it refers to plowing. That if you that we're calling plowing tosfos because, like we said before, we didn't learn it explicitly from the pasuk. The pasuk never said in so many words that you're not allowed to plow during Shemitah. We're only learning it from the klal of prat, or we're only learning it from the klal of prat or klal according to the opinion that you could. So therefore, Rav Elazar is saying that plowing is what we mean over here by you would think you get malchus for plowing. But hachi kamer, so the braisa means or the statement that Amiroyim was saying, Yochu yoka al charisha, you would think that a person gets malchus for plowing a field during Shemitah, the asim the klal of prat klal, because after all, according to that opinion, we can learn it from the klal of prat klal, because again, like we said before, we're not accepting Rav Ovin's statement. Reb Ovin's statement that we don't consider this a klal or prat klal, even though the klal at the beginning and the klal at the end are esses, and the prat in the middle is a lois esse. Nevertheless, Reb Ovin had said that doesn't count as a klal or prat klal. Nevertheless, we would be saying that the other Amiroyim, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, disagree with that concept. So therefore, so you would in fact learn plowing and that it's also from a klal or prat klal. But Rabbi Elazar continues, what does it mean? V'nosiv like Talmud Leptura, when we say that we learn from a pasuk that you potter, because we say that, what does that mean? De'im kein kol hani prati lamali. Because like we said before, the fact that the Torah listed four malachas and two of them are subcategories of two other malachas teaches us that only those four does a person get malchus for doing, but not anything else. An interesting point that Tosfos says is, very usually when the Gemara brings a machlokas and it doesn't say who said what, it says chad omer, one amoda said this and one amoda said that, usually afterwards the Gemara will try to prove which one said which. Now here we seem to very clearly be saying that Rabbi Elazar is saying that you don't get malchus for plowing on Shemitah. So why don't we say tistayim, that we can conclude that in the machlokas before, Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says you get malchus, and Rabbi Elazar not. So Tosfos gives two reasons. Number one is, we're going to talk later on about Tosfos Shvius, which is another way of explaining Rabbi Dimi, the statement that Rabbi Dimi brought. So maybe in fact Rabbi Elazar would be talking about now how we can explain Rabbi Dimi's statement, but not necessarily that he agrees with it. Or the other possibility, Tosfos says it's just the opposite. When does the Gemara do tistayim? When you have something that you can't necessarily, it's not a clear statement where one of them said such and such, but because of something else that they said, you can deduce that what they would hold in the previous machlokas. Here, you don't need to deduce. Here, Rabbi Elazar is saying flat out that you don't get malchus for it. So therefore, it's very clear. The Gemara doesn't even need to say tistayim because it's very clear that he's the one who holds then that you don't get malchus. Anyway, so that would be one way of understanding Rav Dimi's statement. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan says, no, what it means is that when, again, Rav Dimi had said that they were discussing in the yeshiva, you would think that you get malchus for the Tosfos, and we learn from the pasuk that you don't. So we said, Rabbi Elazar says Tosfos means plowing, and we learn from the pasuk the fact that the pasuk listed all those four details. Rabbi Yochanan, who says that you do get malchus for plow, or at least we assume now that he's the one who says that you do get malchus for plowing, so he understands the statement differently. Rabbi Yechanan Amar, Yomim Shahisifu Chachamim Lefnei Rosh Hashanah. It means Tosfos over here means the time before Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah, the time still during the sixth year, when the Chachamim said there are certain agricultural activities that already you're not allowed to do during that time. So now, Vahachikamar. So now the statement is saying as follows: Yocho Yokal Tosfos Rosh Hashanah. You would think that a person who does agricultural activities that are also during that time, during that period before Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah, should be getting malchus. And the reason we would think that he gets malchus is the Asya Mibachorish of Akotzer Tishbos, because where do we learn this concept of Tosfos Shvius? Is because a pasuk says you have to rest from. You have to rest from plowing and from harvesting. And we're going to explain soon that one way of understanding that pasuk is it's referring to the time before Shemitah, where already you're also to do those activities. So you would think you get malchus for it. The nasa, Talmud Leptura, but then we learn a pasuk that in fact you're potter from malchus for it. As the Gemara is going to explain soon how we learn that. Now, Tosfos says, one second, if we're learning Tosfos Shvius from the words Bechorosh Makotzer Tishbos, there's no lav over there. There's only an eset. So therefore, but the answer is, Tosfos says, once we say Bechorosh Makotzer Tishbos means that the time before Shemitah is already restricted in these activities, then we would have thought to say it has exactly the same dinim as Shemitah. And since Shemitah itself was a lav involved, because we said Sod Choloi Sizmer, Acham Choloi Sizmer, so you would think this time already is included in that as well. And therefore, we're going to show from a pasuk soon that it's not so, that in fact it is, that it's not mutter to do them, but if a person does them, even though he's over on a din daraisa, he's still not chayav malchus. Now, my yomim shalifnei Rosh Hashanah. What days before Rosh Hashanah are we talking about? Give me one second. Somebody's by the door. It's possible. Some possible they're trying to come in. So, yeah. Okay, continuing. So my yomim shalifnei Rosh Hashanah, what days before Rosh Hashanah are we talking about that you're not allowed to do certain activities? Kedetan, we learn in the first Mishnah of Shavuos. Ad mosai choshin b'sdei ilon erev Shavuos, in a field of trees, in an orchard, how long before, how much time until Shemitah, how much time before Shemitah do you have to stop plowing? Up until what point during the sixth year are you still allowed to plow? So now the point is, usually we're talking about the kind of plowing which helps the ground for the next year. So there comes a point in the season, there comes a point in the agricultural year when it's late enough, when any plowing that you're doing is in order to benefit the ground for next year. It's not helping anymore for this year's crops. So up to what point is that? Beis Shammai calls Manja Yofalapri. Beis Shammai says, as long as the plowing is benefiting the fruit that's currently growing, Beis Hillel says until Shavuos time. And the Mishnah points out, really, what Beis Shammai is saying is not that different than what Beis Hillel is saying. So Tosfos talks about that Beis Shammai is L'chumra most of the time. So therefore, it means that Beis Shammai is saying it's a little before Shavuos, and Beis Hillel is saying until Shavuos itself. But it's not. There's not a great deal of difference between them. The Yerushalmi points out that there's a different reason. There's a different reason why it just says a kroivim divra'elu, this can divra'elu, because it really depends. It depends on how the season is going. Sometimes you have where the time where it benefits the plant, the fruit is a little bit before Shavuos. Sometimes it's a little bit after Shavuos. So therefore, you can't say a blanket thing that Shammai is always being machmir in this case, because sometimes their opinion results in a kula and sometimes in a chuppah. And the Mishnah continues later on in Shavuos. What about in a field of grain? How far along in the sixth year are you allowed to plow on the year before Shemitah? The reason why a field of grain is called Sde Lovan, by the way, there's a few different reasons that are given. One of them is because the grain itself looks whitish when it's ripe. And another reason is because a field like that doesn't have trees in it, like this, an area with trees has a certain amount of shade, so like the ground is not uniformly white and bright in the sun, whereas a field of grain is uniformly bright in the sun because there's nothing there to give shade, and therefore the whole thing looks white. Anyway, so the Mishnah continues, in a field of trees in an orchard, we're saying again, Beis Shammai says, that you're allowed to plant as long as you're allowed to plow, rather, as long as it benefits this year's fruit. And Beis Hillel says until Shavuos. What about in a field of grain? So Mishatich lahalecha. So the Mishnah says you're allowed to plow until the time when the moisture in the ground is gone. Because, in other words, once that moisture has dried up, once that moisture from this year's rain has dried up, then plowing is not doing any good for the crops this year. Now it's helping for next year, and you can't already because it's before Shemitah. And the cholzman shebnei adam choshen lita mikshoyis and midlois. And it's the time, all the time, that people plow their fields when they're planning to plant cucumbers or pumpkins. The Ritva talks about over here two different possible gersois. Do we have the vav over here or not? If we don't have the vav, then it means that it's saying that it's all describing one time. When there's still moisture in the ground, is still the time when people would sometimes be plowing if they're planning to plant cucumbers or pumpkins. If you have the vav, then it means it's two separate things. It's when there's moisture in the ground, or when people are still plowing for pumpkins or cucumbers. Anyway, Reb Shimon Omer continues the Mishnah. Reb Shimon says you can't have such a shear. If you're going to learn like that, then you're going to say the Torah is giving every person his own shear. Because Rashi explains, sometimes you can have one person still plans to plant pumpkins or cucumbers, and therefore you're going to say he's allowed to plant. Another person is not planning to, and therefore he's not allowed to plant. You can't do that. You have to have one uniform rule for all. Or another way of explaining it is also that one person, the Bartanura on the Mishnah says, one person is going to say, well, my field's not dried up yet. And the other one is going to say, well, my field already is. And then you're going to have, each person is going to have their own rules about up to what point the rest of the day they can plow. So the Shimon says you can't do like that. You have to have a uniform rule for everybody. Ella. So rather, he says the uniform rule is the stay alavan ada Pesach. In a wheat, in a field of grain, you're only allowed to plow until Pesach time. Or the stay ha'ilan ada tzeres and ada tzeres. And in a field of trees, you're in an orchard, you're allowed to plow, like we said before, until Shavuos. Okay, Mishilul and Mara Pesach. Mishilul says to Pesach. Okay, that's in parenthesis. That isn't even in the Mishnah in Shavuos. So that's the time before Shemitah that we're talking about. That you would think that a person that we said before, so Rabbi Yochanan says that the statement of Rabbi Dimi, which he didn't understand, which said you would think you would get Malkus for the Tosfos, that's the Tosfos we're talking about. So in other words, Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that you do get Malkus for plowing during Shemitah itself, the statement that Rabbi Dimi quoted was saying you would think by the same token if a person were to plow his field of trees, for example, after Shavuos, you would think he gets Malkus. And the answer is that no, he doesn't. It's also for him to do at that point, but he doesn't get Malkus for it. And continues the Gemara, V'amr b'shimben pazi, amr b'shimben levi b'shim b'kapara, Rabban Gamliel u'beis dinoi nimnu al shnei prokam alalu u'bitlu. Rabban Gamliel, now the Rabban Gamliel we mean over here is Rabban Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. We don't really hear that much about him. It seems that he was maybe only Nasi for a relatively short time. The most well-known place where we have his name is in Pirkei Avos, in Perek Beis. After you have Perek Beis, begins Rebbe Omer, Ezi Derech Ishara, the next Mishnah continues, Rebbe Gamliel, Bnei Shor, Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, Omer, Yofa, Talmud Torah, Im Derech Eretz. Other than that, we don't really have a lot from him in Shas, and it seems like maybe he passed away young. We learned actually at the end of Megillah, we had where Rebbe asked Rabbi Shurban Karcha for a bracha for Arichus Yamim. And Rabbi Shurban Karcha told him, you should live half the length of the life that I do. And Rebbe says, why not the full thing? And Rabbi Shurban Karcha tells him, because you need to leave some time for your children. So it seems that in fact, what happened in the end was that Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, in fact, did not have that long to exercise his nesis. Anyway, whatever the case, this is the Rabban Gamliel we're talking about over here. So he and his beis din, nimnu al shnei prokem alalu, they voted about these two times of Pesach and Shavuos respectively, ubitlum, and they were mevatel them. So therefore, so now after they changed that, you're allowed to plow all the way up until Rosh Hashanah. So now the question is, amalei Rav Zeira l'Rabbahu, v'amri lo Shlokish l'Rav Yochanan. So Rav Zeira asked Rabbahu, or some say Shlokish asked Rav Yochanan, Rav Gamliel, the best dinner, heichi motzim avati takanta, the best shamay or besilo. How are Rav Gamliel and his best din able to be mevata or takana of best shamay and besilo? We said before that when we said before that you allowed, that Rav Shimon had said that you allowed to plow in a wheat field, in a grain field until Pesach, and in a tree field until Shavuos. That was that's respectively according to Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So they, in a previous generation, said that you have to stop plowing at that point. How can Rav Gamliel, who's later, come and be mevatel what they said? Vatnan. Don't we learn in a Mishnah in Adias? Ain't we learned it at the beginning of Megillah as well? Ain't based in Yochel Levato Divrei based in Chaveroi. One based in cannot be Mevato, a Takana or a Gzera of a previous based in. Elin can Godum Remen of a Chochmah of a Minyan, unless the later based in is greater in Chochmah, in knowledge of Torah, and in Minyan. Minyan literally means number, but what does that mean? Every based in has the same number of every Sanhedrin Gdola has the same number of members. So there's a few opinions among Rishonim what Minyan means. The Rambam says it means the number of Chachamim of that period who agreed with the new based in on this. There's also some Rishonim say it means their age. Whatever the case, the point is Rav Gamliel as great as he was, is not as great in Torah as Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, because in general we say Niskat no Adoris, the generation gets smaller and lesser as they go along. So how are he and his Beis Din able to be mevato something that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel says? So Rav Zeira asked this to Rav Abahu, or the Shlokish asked this to Rav Yechanan. So the Gemara says, "Eshtoimam kashar chada." He was quiet for a while. This is the phrase is taken from a pasuk in Daniel. The Gemara uses it in a few places where somebody was asked a very strong kasha, and he had to sit there for a while and think of an answer. And then Rav Abahu or Rav Yechanan answered, "Amer." We have to answer, it must be Kach Histu Benehen, that originally when Shammai and Hillel in their time made this takana, they also made a tnai attached to the takana, Kola Roitza Levato, Yobi Vivato, that any future based in that finds it necessary to be Mevato, this takana, can do so. Now, why would they want to? Tosfos points out, you could have in later times, the soil might lose its fertility. And therefore, if they don't plow after Pesach or Shavuos respectively, then it's going to ruin the land, and it's not even going to grow well in the year after Shemitah. So Shammai and Hillel, to begin with, would have made a takana that when a later Beis Din finds it necessary, because the fertility of the soil has gone down, that they would be allowed to be mevatel this. So that would be an exception to the rule that a later Beis Din can't be mevatel takana of an odi. However, the Gemara asks, "Did Huhi? Are you telling me this is a takana from the time of Shammai and Hillel? And that way you can say that they put a condition on it that makes it possible for Rav Gamliel to be mevatel it? As a matter of fact, this point about not being able to plow during a certain part of the sixth year in preparation for Shemitah is actually halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim. The Amr of Asi, Amr of Yechanan, Mishum Rabban Chonia Ish Bikas Beis Chorsan. We learned about this in Sukkah and in Tainus as well. That Rav Asi says in the name of Rav Yechanan, who in turn said in the name of Rabban Chonia from Bikas Beis Chorsan, that there are three halachas. Eser Netiyos, number one, a halacha about a field the size of a base saw, which is 2,500 square amas, 50 by 50, that if it has 10 young trees planted in it, then you're allowed to plow the whole field until Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah, because since they're young trees, they need that extra plowing around them in order to soften the soil and make them able to grow. Implying, in other words, that if they were older trees, you wouldn't be allowed to do that. So we see that the fact that you're not allowed to plow for a certain amount of time before Rosh Hashanah, that's one of these three halachas on Rosh Hashanah. So number one,
why is it limited to Beis Nassim? You should include all new trees.
Beis Sah. The reason is because if you have fewer than 10 trees in that area or more than 10 trees in that area, then that dispensation doesn't apply. If you have fewer trees, then you're only allowed to plow the immediate area around each tree itself. You're not allowed like this. When you have 10 young trees over there, you're allowed to plow the entire base on their behalf. And when you have fewer than that, you're allowed to plow around their roots, but only around their roots, not further out. And if you have more than 10 of them, then that's already too crowded. Then inevitably you're going to, you being an expert farmer, and you know they're not going to grow well crowded that much together, then you're going to uproot some of them. So therefore, they don't have enough bachashivos to be allowed to plow the whole area for them. And of course we scale it up. I mean, if the field is a base saw, then you have 10. If it's a base saw same, then you have 20, etc. But that's the reason. Mm-hmm. So that's the first one. Number two, Arava. Number two, the fact that they have the mitzvah of Arava in the Beis Hamikdash, as we learned about a few months ago in Masechta Sukkah, where every day they would take tall Arava branches and stand them up around the Mizbeach and then go and then march around the Mizbeach. So that's the second thing. The Nisuch HaMayim. And the third thing is, also we learned in Masechta Sukkah, that you pour water on the Mizbeach every day of Sukkot. So those three things, Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim, all of those are Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim. The reason why those three are together, by the way, Rashi mentions in one of the places in Sukkah, is because they asked about those three in the Beis Medrash. Where do we get this thing of Eser Netiyos? Where do we get this thing of Arava? Where do we get this thing of Nisuch HaMayim? And the answer to all three of them was Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim. So therefore, they tended to remember them and learn them together. Anyway, the point is, so we see that not plowing the field before a certain amount of time before Shemitah is Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim. So it's not a takana of Shammai and Hillel. So you can't say then that they put in an exception that says that a later Beis Din can cancel it. You don't have conditions like that on Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim. So what did Rav Gamliel and his Beis Din do? The answer is, Amar Rabbi Yitzchok, Ki Gmiri Hilchasa. Rabbi Yitzchok says, the Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim was that Shloshim Yom Lifnei Rosh Hashanah. That for 30 days before Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah, you're not allowed to plow the field anymore. For Asuhani, later on, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel came Tokun, and they made a takana. They extended that. Mi Pesach u'Me'atzeres, that respectively from Pesach and Shavuos, depending on the type of field, you're not allowed to plow anymore. For Asnu, we did who? So now they made a t'nai within what they themselves had said, that Kol Aroitz Levato Yavi Vivato, that anybody who wants to be Mevato can do so. So in other words, So there's two parts of it. There's a part which is Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim, and that still remains in effect even after Rav Gamliel's Takana. And then you have the part that was, so, and then you have the part that Bishama and Bishilo added, where they included in it a clause that said that if a later Beis Din finds it necessary, they can undo this. And that's what Rav Gamliel Beis Din did.
What is not changeable and what is changeable? Which clause?
So far, what we're saying is the last 30 days before Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah is not changeable. That's halacha l'mishmei Sinai, and nobody can be mevatel that. Then there's the part that the later chachamim, Bishama and Bishilo said, from Pesach, from a grain field, from Pesach, and in a tree field, from Shavuos, you're not allowed to plow anymore because that's benefiting next year's crops. But they included in it a clause that said that a later Beis Din can be mevatel it. And Rav Gamliel and his Beis Din went and did that. So now, after Rav Gamliel's takana, then you're left with that only the last 30 days before Rosh Hashanah are you not allowed to plow. But anytime before that, you are allowed to, even though it is benefiting next year, even though it is benefiting the soil for next year.
So is it from Pesach or from Shavuos?
So Pesach for a wheat field, Shavuos for a tree field. So in other words, what we're saying is the history of it would have been as follows. Halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim was that 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, you're not allowed to plow. So therefore, for 1,000 or so years after the Torah was given, that was the halacha. During the sixth year, you're allowed to plow the field until Rosh Chodesh Elul. Rosh Chodesh Elul and on, 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, you have to stop. Then came Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel towards the end of the second Beis Mikdash, and they made a takana that from now on, in a wheat field, you're not allowed to plow anytime after Pesach, and in a tree field, you're not allowed to plow anytime after Shavuos. Then came about 150 or 200 years later, came Rav Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and put things back the way they were before Shammai and Hillel, that you can plow until Rosh Chodesh Elul any kind of field.
Why did they, before Rav Gamliel, why did they make the takana on Pesach and Shavuos? What was the reason?
Because they said that any plowing that you're doing after Pesach and Shavuos, respectively, in the different kinds of fields, is not really benefiting this year's crops anymore. You're doing it in preparation for next year's crops. And what next year's crops? Next year's Shemitah. You're not working the land anyway. So therefore, there's no reason to, therefore, you shouldn't be plowing during that time, because it's clear that you're plowing in order to improve the soil for Shemitah. And you're not supposed to be plowing, you're not supposed to be planting during Shemitah anyway. But your Tosfos explains, Rav Gamliel, based, you know, realized in his times, the soil was of Eretz Yisrael was not as fertile as it had been before. If you don't plow between Pesach and Rosh Chodesh Elul in a wheat field, or between Shavuos and Rosh Chodesh Elul in a tree field, then it's going to damage the soil. The soil is not going to retain, it's not going to have its fertility even after Shemitah. So it's not, even though it's true, you're not planting anything next year, but nevertheless, you need it in order that the soil itself should remain fertile for future years after Shemitah. And therefore, he and his Beis Din allowed it and brought it back to the way it was before Shammai and Hillel.
So the halacha now is only 30 days
we're not done with the discussion yet. We're going to continue this discussion tomorrow, Bez Hashem, and we're going to see that maybe nowadays, we're going to see that actually nowadays it is really mutter all the way until Rosh Hashanah, because we're going to discuss that point. We're going to discuss that point later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Shkayach.
Shkayach.